brother.
God,
what's up?
This is a group recording, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig it.
Stop right up.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Fingers crossed for the Bucks game tonight.
Yeah, well, this evening, 5:30, man.
Oh, yeah, it's compared to Tuesday night. It's an early one.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's, you know, Calvin, you didn't remind me that yesterday was May 1st.
The months are melding together.
No, man. May 2nd already, man. But anyway, got a great show lined up for you this morning. And I'll tell you, I'm really excited about, you know, the second hour. It's Thursday, so we know we're going to have In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar. And hopefully you have some questions lined up about your medications and those things. But the first hour is really going to be an informative hour, and I'm really excited to have my guest on the line. And we're going to be talking about something. But let me say this before we get to my guest. Artificial intelligence. AI, have heard about it time and time and time again, and I've been hearing about it. And you know, when you're in the age demographic of myself and most of the listeners, we really don't know, we don't comprehend what AI stands for. You know, I mean, we know it's artificial intelligence, but to break it down in a manner that the average citizen can understand what it is, the impact that it's already had on our lives, and the increasing impact that this technology is going to have year after year and decade after decade is the reason I invited my guest, Mr. Patrick McGarry, to join us and give us Artificial Intelligence 101. Good morning to you, Mr. McGarry. How are you doing, sir? Mr. McGarry, are you there? I don't know, Calvin. Let's see if we can, reconnect with Mr. McGarry. You know, I thought, and when I think about artificial intelligence, I think about the old sci-fi movies, and you know, Lost in Space and Robbie the Robot and all those different things that when I was a young man, and even today, I'm still excited about watching those old movies. And maybe that was the artificial intelligence that I thought of. But it's certainly not that. And it looks like we've got our guests on the line. Hey, good morning to you, Mr. McGarry. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you very much.
I'm really excited about our conversation. Do us a favor, before we even get started, tell us a little bit about Patrick McGarry.
Oh, I don't know. It's all that interesting, but I've been in the tech scene for a long time. I currently work for a startup in the data and AI ecosystem called Data.World. My background has actually been in building open source developer communities, which really, you know, all of that tech and stuff aside, it's my job has really been trying to be the dumbest guy in the room and work with the smartest people I can find and translate highly technical things into folks that aren't highly technical. So I've had a good time doing it, though.
Well, so now. You're telling us about you interacting with really highly brilliant tech people and you being on the lower level in those meetings. And now here you are on the upper level and you're dealing with really a group of people, citizens who have no concept at all, you know, about what this is. And as I was telling Calvin yesterday. I remember, you know, Pong. When the game Pong came, you don't know what that is. And we thought that was high tech.
I mean, it was for the time, right?
it was to have a one line drawn down the middle of your television set and a ball that you can knock back and forth. let's talk about what AI is.
Yeah, I mean, AI, you know, it's hard because AI in some form or fashion has been around for a long time. It's not new technology. It's just starting to gain momentum in ways that are applicable to way more people. Like we were talking before, AI could help anybody at this point. And more than that, anybody can use AI to help themselves in their daily life, right? And this new sort of what they're calling generative AI, which really is just a really smart robot and an algorithm that understands plain text and can talk to you like a human. Generative AI is sort of the future of the ability for non-technical folks to take advantage of this technology. It's the thing that's going to become your work buddy, right? And it's going to help you go do things faster and more efficient. AI, it's a lot of things. There are a lot of different things that fall under that umbrella. But really what it is it's a sort of next step in the evolution of what we would call automation.
So AI, an algorithm, what is an algorithm?
An algorithm, not to get too deep into the weeds, but an algorithm is just computer code that is designed to answer a question, right?
Right.
We don't need to get all that technical, but it's really just a set of steps that are used to complete a specific task that you program that allows a computer or device or whatever to do a task. Whether it's a robot that's going to tie your shoes or somebody that's going to go execute a complex task on a computer. The algorithm is just what tells it how to do that.
So people are really intimidated and worried about AI, and they're worried about AI because in many instances, there's this fear that AI is going to wind up taking the jobs of many people in this nation. So take that fear out of it for many of us who think that at the end of this spectacular invention is going to be less jobs for human beings.
Yeah, I mean, there certainly will be some percentage of people that get displaced by AI, but it's not going to be as many as you might think. I like to tell people they're not really, and this is a generalization, but you're not really going to lose your job to AI. What you are going to lose your job to is someone who wants to do your job and understands how to use AI to do it better. If you look at even recent history with automation and early AI, sort of the early part of this wave, so around 2018 to 2022, we lost about 75 million jobs to automation broadly, but we created 133 million new ones, right? So the net gain, whether it be from the robotics automation of the automotive age that we talked about before, or whether it's this new tech that's sort of the fourth wave of technology that we're moving into now, the net result is usually positive. And in our case, it's been hugely positive. So I think it's actually a good thing.
So those that are resisting AI, rather than riding the crest of the wave, will not be making hay whilst the sun shines when it comes to landing in demand jobs in the next 6 years and enjoying job growth. AI will be taking some jobs, but it will be creating new ones. Is it safe to say?
That's right. And to kind of expand on that, I'll tell you that when you look at sort of that pool of net new jobs that we were talking about, a third of those jobs are new roles. A third of those net new positions are new roles. And certainly you've got to look at the breakdown, right? Because if I say, hey, AI is going to create a whole bunch of new jobs, that really doesn't, it's not much salve for the guy who just lost his job,
right?
Is in that small percentage, right? But if you look at the roles that are sort of breaking down in this new economy, the hugest amount of growth that's projected is obviously in these new or high skill jobs, data and AI engineering or some form of cloud computing or something. But right behind them are those human centric roles. The care economy is only getting bigger, you know, whether it's childcare or elder care, customer support, helping people to interact with technology or systems, and then sales or marketing, you know, human to human interactions in terms of building or selling these systems. None of those things are going away anytime soon. But all of those roles, high skill or not, have the ability to leverage AI to do their job faster or better.
Our phone number is 844-967-2789. My guest is Patrick McGarry, and we are having a conversation about artificial intelligence that I think is long overdue for the listening audience. I've got a text here that says, I've heard it's the people who can use AI that will be the ones taking the jobs. You've certainly, this is a technology that we're not going to shut the door on it, right? I mean, the genie's not going to go back in the bottle.
That's right. That's right. And I think the person who is texting you is absolutely correct. I think the people that are able to leverage AI are going to be the ones in demand. They're going to be the ones demanding higher salaries. So they're going to be the ones at the front of the line when it comes to getting a job. But the good news is there's a ton of resources available to anyone who wants them, and they're free. You can look at educational institutions like MIT and Harvard that have opened up their catalogs for people that want to learn more about AI. The tech giants are obviously motivated to get people on board with AI because it only makes their business stronger. Companies like NVIDIA and Databricks, or then there's specific training companies out there like Coursera or Udacity. And then obviously the individual thought leaders, Andrew Ng, Ethan Mollick, Yann LeCun, Kurt Bourne, whoever. So, like, there's a ton of people that are providing this content, and you can go learn this stuff.
So you're speaking in a different language, you know, and like you're from a different planet. And so, we got to take a short hiatus. When we come back, I want you to, you know, speak in terms that maybe the average person can understand. I think that's one of the whole purposes of having you on the air. My guest is Mr. Patrick McGarry, and we're having a dialogue and a conversation about artificial intelligence. 844-967-2789. We're going to drill down deeper on the other side. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Patrick McGarry, and he's here to talk about artificial intelligence. Let me ask you this, sir. I was going through some things, and it said, what jobs are most likely to be automated? Customer service representative. You know, most human customer service interactions are no longer done by phone with human employees manning the lines. Receptionists. The majority of companies across the world are now using robots at their reception. Even the calls are being managed by AI. Accountants, bookkeepers. Many companies are now using automation for their bookkeeping practices. AI-powered bookkeeping services provide an efficient accounting system and flexibility and security. Salespeople. Gone are the days when corporations required salespeople for advertising and retail activities. Advertising has shifted towards web and social media landscapes. Research analysts. The fields of data analysts and research are areas that already implement the use of artificial intelligence. Warehouse work. Online sales is steadily growing industry and comes with an increasing need for process and automated systems Clearly, that is something that AI has taken over. Insurance underwriting, retail. So when we talk about the kinds of jobs that artificial intelligence are taking away and the ones that are being created, sir, do you need a strong math background to get into AI? Or what is it that you need when you're in school that would prepare you to take advantage of the kind of creative jobs that artificial intelligence is developing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the short answer is, do you need heavy math to use AI? And the answer is no. If you're in school and you really want to be in sort of that technical field and you want to go build these AI systems, absolutely. You know, go take all the math, become that computer scientist or you know, have a computer engineering degree with behavioral psychology or whatever it is that you want to do. Like, if you want to be in the high tech where you're like in the top upper echelons of riding that wave, like, yes, absolutely. You need all of the tech that you can get your hands on. But the thing that I really want to tell people is like, look, you know, all of the things that you just listed, the different roles that are going to be replaced by AI, I would argue not going to be replaced. They're just going to change. They're not going to look the same, right? Yes, the customer, you know, automated bot customer service thing is going to get better. And we may see some of the frontline people that are answering the calls in the call center displaced by an automated system. But I mean, how many of us have been on those systems,
right,
and angrily yelled into the phone, representative, right? Because we just want to talk to a human. So we got a question that doesn't fit the mold, right? And that's where you're going to see people that are leveraging the technology to answer and have a broader sort of set of knowledge at their fingertips, you know, even more than might be in their head, so they can better interact with human to human and answer those questions. So I think we're just going to see things change. But again, that AI technology, the answer here isn't that it's going to displace you and it's a have or have not. It's that anyone can leverage it. And you know, really, if you want to continue to be competitive, you got to at least get on board a little bit. And when I say a little bit, Earl, you and I could sit down. I could teach you how to use AI for things that you would do in your daily life.
Yeah, we just lost Gary, Patrick. So 844-967-2789 is the number while we await the return of Patrick. You know, I wanted to ask him, and I will ask him once we get him back on the line, the impact of artificial intelligence in our everyday lives. You know, I think that we don't even understand the impact of what artificial intelligence has wrought thus far. And so those, again, from my generation who ushered in the era of these laptops and even the desktop computers, I never will forget as a young man watching Patrick is back. Pat, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. All right. I tell you, I started talking about the robot.
Well, that's about to say. Well, so let's talk about the impact of what artificial intelligence has done. I remember thus far, Patrick, I'm from a time when we had something called AT&T, and there were telephones, and they had millions of people. When the phone rang, they would take a cord out and put it into. Am I dating myself?
Oh, yeah.
Have you saw that in the museums?
Yeah, the museums. I'm not as young as I sound, Earl. I remember a lot more of that than you might think.
Yes, sir. So is that kind of what we, you know, I mean, that advancement from women sitting behind and sticking a cord in this apparatus and millions of people making great wages doing that to now a cell phone in your hand and you can talk to people all over the world. I mean, is that what we're talking about? What artificial intelligence is and this technology has taken us to?
I mean, it's certainly the drumbeat, right? It's the drumbeat of progress. And the good news is that you know, the sort of next generation has been raised on a different set of technologies than we
yes.
are, and they're going to be far more easily adaptable, right? You know, I actually had an experience the other day where I found an old rotary telephone, and I tried to have one of my, my kids dial the phone, and they started pushing the numbers and not understanding why nothing was happening. And, you know, just trying to understand the fact that, like, okay, they can't operate a rotary telephone, but I bet they can go online and make a call from their computer in a way that a lot of, like, my parents' generation would never dream of, right?
Right.
So it's like that constant drumbeat is just sort of a different technology, and it just becomes infused in their everyday life. And the good news is, like, it has actually come back. So when the early days of PCs happened, it was a very unapproachable technology. But now we have advanced that technology to the point where it becomes approachable because it is so highly technical. It can put on a really pretty face and be very approachable.
So it's similar to, you know, the horse and buggy. And so when the horse and buggy left and the automobile came in, certainly we never went back to the horse and buggy. The advancement has improved the lives of all of us. And you can say that AI is doing exactly that as well. And so the people who made the horse and buggy switched over to people who started making automobiles. Is it safe to say it's kind of like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to drive a Model T or a Model A, but it wasn't easy. And I'll tell you, like, I don't think there's any one of us today that would say that driving a car isn't something that everyone should know how to do. And
so,
when the Model T and the Model A happened, that wasn't the case.
So, Patrick, hang on. 844-967-2789. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Patrick McGarry, and we're having a dialogue and a conversation about artificial intelligence. You are welcome to join us as well. Let's go back to the text line. I think it's worth mentioning that you can have AI teach you how to use AI as well. Just ask it how to do something, and it'll give you steps to follow. Great of you. Don't know where to start. Patrick, let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is a comment and a question for Patrick. So the comment is, I agree that AI obviously is definitely going to, you know, transform everyday lives dramatically, I think, in the next few years. In particular, in medicine, I've been, you know, hearing about, you know, where the doctors and nurses have been using AI to diagnose certain diseases, and they're able to, AI is able to put all that information together rather quickly and can actually diagnose a person much quicker than ordinary traditional methods. So that's good. And I also saw that Elon Musk just, I think it was a day or two ago, he is worked out a deal with China to have self-driving cars in China. And the I guess the end of that story is that the only concern, and I would just point this, ask Patrick, the amount of data that's going to be collected on everyday individuals, I think is going to be exponential. And I do worry about how that could potentially be used against an individual for some nefarious reason if somebody gets hacked or whatever. I'm just curious to see what your thoughts are, Patrick, with that and everything else. So that's about it.
Thank you very much for the call, David. Patrick, you want to respond?
Yeah, no, that is a fantastic question. And, you know, now you've turned over the dark side of the coin, right? And there's a ton of upside. But there's also going to be a lot of things, you know, with the internet. You know, we had the advent of, you know, questionable sites, scams, and all sorts of things that, you know, we're still learning how to deal with. And similarly, you know, AI just puts a very much larger gun in the hands of adversaries, whether they be, you know, nation states or whether they be individual bad actors. You know, the good news is there are a lot of folks out there that are fighting the good fight on sort of the light side of that coin. You know, whether you look at, you know, sort of the flurry of activity in the United States DOD and intel communities that are being sort of practiced as we speak, or, you know, cybersecurity firms and things like that that can be a little bit more applied to, you know, everyday folks like you and me. I think that there's a lot being done, and you're right. There's definitely going to be some pitfalls. There's going to be some hacks, some problems, and things that we're going to have to deal with. But you know, you see that with any sort of new technology or new wave of things. You're going to have the snake oil salesman to the true bad actor. And like, I don't see that we're getting around it. And certainly it's better for all of us to evolve into this technology than just to let the bad actors run away with it and not sort of do it ourselves. Hopefully that answers your question. It's not much of an answer, but, you know, beyond brace yourself, it's coming, and there's help.
All right. Al, you're next.
Yeah. So your memory is failing you. You said robotics is part of AI, right?
That's what I said. Yeah, I don't know, but that's okay. Right. Go ahead.
In the 1970s, in the South plant of A.O. Smith, they put in robots to build sidebars for frames for cars. You don't remember that?
I absolutely remember that. It replaced a lot of people.
That's what I'm talking about. They shut down two lines and brought in robots, and they started using that to take over jobs for 25 people on a line. So this is not new. This is just something that's evolved. And in the military, they've been using robots forever. So just a point of just refreshing your memory.
Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was going to say, I'll just address that real quick. You know, I think that's a fantastic point, that there are job losses, and the people that lose their jobs to a new technology, that it's not an immediate solution. There's no way for them to turn around and have immediate recourse. The good news here is there's a lot faster turnaround. You know, people that were on the plant line that got placed by robotics, it was hard for them to find a job, and they a lot of times had to switch industries. Whereas now, I think you can stay in the same industry, learn a new technology, immediately be.
We lost Patrick again. But so 844-967-2789 is the number. Let me run down a couple things. How many jobs will be lost by AI by 2025? The World Economic Forum has estimated that artificial intelligence will replace some 85 million jobs by 2025. Patrick, you've rejoined us. I'm reading this quickly. The World Economic Forum has estimated that artificial intelligence will replace some 85 million jobs by 2025. Freethink says that 65% of retail jobs could be automated by that year, saying that this is largely due to technological advancements, rising costs and wages, tight labor markets, and reduced consumer spending. How many jobs will be lost by AI by 2030? PwC estimates that by the mid-2030s, up to 30% of jobs could be automatable, with simply more men being affected in the long run, and autonomous vehicles and other machines replace many manual tasks where their share of employment is higher. During the first and second waves, they estimate that women could be at greater risk of automation due to their higher representation in clerical and other administrative functions. You say what to that, Patrick?
Yeah, I say I think you and I are reading a lot of the same reports. And further down in those reports, you'll see that it talks about sort of how that turns around, right? Longer term, that script flips, right? Men are then more apt to be affected when you get 5 or 10 years into this equation. And then overall, once we continue moving forward, you say 85, I think the report I read was 75 million jobs lost to AI. And that's the number I was talking about earlier, where there's 133 million new jobs that are being created in the same space. There's another report by Goldman Sachs that's yes. looking at AI specifically that talks about that AI alone over the next 10 years is going to be responsible for a minimum of a 7% global GDP lift, which is almost $7 trillion of net gain across the global economy.
Let me ask you then, Patrick, if you follow this, and right now in the United States, the young people and their education, we're not where we were, and we're behind other nations with the quality of the education of many of our young people. This is a global reality. So this is not jobs inside of America. It is global competition. Is it safe to say that?
Yes and no. I think there's always going to be a fair amount of globalization that happens. But in when you look at a lot of these things, you know, the U.S. is still like, yes, we're downranking in just about every metric aside from, you know, people in prison. But
right.
But the fact is, we're still in the top. Right. Like that. We're still up there. We're still competitive. We're still contributing a lot more than we consume in terms of the global economy. But like when you look at the education specifically, thankfully, our children are finding other ways to educate themselves. I think our educational system is in desperate need of a lift, of some reforms, of some help, of some way, shape or form. I'm not an education expert. I don't have the answer there, but I bet you there are a bunch of people that do. But I think there's a ton of ways that our young people can be educated now that they're self-serving, whether it's through AI or the web or just pure experience. They can go out there and do whatever they want in ways that I certainly couldn't as
right.
a kid. You know, so I think, you know, there's still a lot of competitiveness that can be had. I think it's just going to be tough for us to sort of make that into a programmatic solution for our children going forward.
All right, let's go to Karina. Good morning to you, Karina. Thank you very much for calling. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Well, I have a question because when we looking at that, and we're talking about artificial intelligence, and we're talking about that, what's happening to people if artificial intelligence does everything for us? An explanation in sci-fi books and research is that basically we live in equal distribution, that the money and produce and GDP produced by AI are helping people to live less concerned about their everyday income, that we spend our time creating something beautiful and necessary only human brain can do. But today, it's not looking like this because it looks like it separates the society even more because people who are making money on AA getting richer and other people just losing jobs. So where the fantasy went?
Hey, Karina, I think it's a fantastic question. Thank you very much for the call. Patrick, you want to respond?
No, that is a great question. And I think that's the perception I'm fighting hardest against. You know, I'll start sort of at the beginning and move forward. You know, or she asked about, you know, sort of what that sci-fi future looks like. And, you know, I was a big fan of Star Trek growing up. And if you remember, you know, the Captain Picard asking computer and asked it to do a question, that's still human in the loop. He is directing that computer to do something, right? So it's not just doing everything on its own. And it's certainly in the near future, you're not going to see AI doing everything on its own either. I think AI is going to be your ride along, your co-pilot, your work buddy. It's going to make you better at what you do. And maybe it allows you to do more of your work faster. So maybe we can finally start looking towards that the Scandinavian four-day work week that we've heard about forever and don't see in the immediate future. Like, I think there's a lot of lift to be had with AI, but I don't think it's going to like completely dissociate. Now, again, the dark side of that coin. I think right now, a lot of the big corporations, the haves, are sort of stretching away from the have-nots. They're making money faster than people that are struggling to catch up. And that's what I really want to work to combat. I want to put AI into the hands of the everyday citizen so that they can keep up or maybe even surpass in some ways the folks that are out there right now at the early edge of the wave.
You know, Patrick, now you've taken it to the place that I really, one of the main reasons why I wanted to have the conversation with you. And we're going to talk on the other side about the positive impacts of AI. But before we get there, the last question I want to ask you on the other side of this is, you know, corporations are in control of AI. And so financially, many of them are certainly reaping the benefits. And right now, there is no regulation of this. And should there be regulation of AI? And if so, why or why not? On the other side, Patrick McGarry, and a great conversation on AI on the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Patrick McGarry, and I'm really happy to have him on. And Patrick, can I get you to commit to do this again soon?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always happy to have a good conversation.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. But here's kind of the thing. Artificial intelligence, it offers great promise, right? There's no question about it. It moves businesses forward. Manufacturing is going to be certainly increased. And so this is a great tool for business. So it's going to be moved forward, no question whatsoever, because business demands that artificial intelligence moves forward. But as I stated before we went to break, who regulates it? And so while it continues to be great for business, should there be regulation on it?
Well, I mean, the short answer, again, is yes. I think with any new technology, there needs to be guidelines on appropriate use. And more than that, it needs to have teeth for people that abuse the technology for nefarious purposes. The good news is that the sort of legislation, the governance, those sorts of things are already in the works. You know, as you might expect, the EU is the fastest to come in and legislate any particular thing. The EU Artificial Intelligence Act, I believe, was approved by EU Parliament in March of this year and is expected to take effect between now and July with a sort of staggered implementation through 2025. So, like, EU is out in front of regulation, but, you know, the US is certainly not far behind. I believe that I'm tracking 93 different pieces of legislation that touch on AI, whether it's things in the Farm Tech Act, or Health Technology Act that are in some form in the House or Senate right now. So it's coming. Certainly expect it to only continue from here.
Well, you know, and artificial intelligence is, it's here. It's not going back. So you either embrace it or it's like anything else, will be left behind. And so as people struggle with the implementation, well, implementation of it has already been there. You know, anybody who's tried to call with a complaint and you know it's not a human being you're talking to, and the frustration that mounts sometimes, we get it. But they're not going back to the human being, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're going to see those systems are going to get easier to use. So the good news is there will be a little bit less frustration on the front end, but then it will more seamlessly transition to, you know, what you might call a human in the loop, right? Where it'll be easier and faster to get you to a human being who can interact with you on a deeper level, but get you to the right human to answer the question in the right way.
So I think... Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's only getting better.
I can foresee in the not too distant future, artificial intelligence on the other side of this conversation you and I are having, and human beings no longer sitting here being radio talk show hosts. I mean, come on. When you realize just how brilliant. Well, I can't say that the machines are brilliant. It's the people, I guess, who put the information in those computers. But I am blown away sometimes by what they're capable of doing.
Absolutely. And I would like to put a quid pro quo there. It's like they are absolutely amazing at times at how fast they can move through large amounts of data and give you a summary or give you, and there's certain tasks that they're really well suited for right now. But I would also want to shed a little bit of light again on the darker side of that coin, which is, you know, a lot of us have heard about this concept of hallucinations, right? And, you know, most people that I talk to, they've heard of it, they know it's a bad thing, but they don't understand what it is. The idea here is that the large language models, the ChatGPTs, that generative AI that talks to you like a human, is so good at expressing itself in natural language that we sometimes forget that it's also just as fallible as a human sometimes. And if it doesn't know, a lot of times it'll just make up some words that fit together real well. At the end of the day, it's just a statistical model. So it could tell you something that sounds really convincing and be completely wrong. Which is why
well, that's not good.
Human in the loop still.
That's yeah. not good. Yeah. Patrick, come on.
That's why you need that human in the loop. You got to have that person sit in sidecar who understands the subject and say, that's not right. Let's go back and figure out why you said that.
I know, and we've only had a short period of time. That's why I want to extend the invitation, because there's so much more I think the average person needs to understand as this technology continues to move forward. It clearly is going to change the world, just like the computer changed the world. It's certainly going to do that. And long after you and I are gone, the world we once knew, you know, has dissipated. And that's the way, you know, the world is, right? I mean, this is just another step towards, the improvements of a society. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and we're only moving forward. And it's fun to look at those far future use cases. You know, how are we going to, traverse the heavens? How are we going to, make robots that can walk and talk like humans and carry my groceries home?
But they already have those.
I think it's also exactly. But I'm saying it's also important to look at the sort of how does this impact my life? How does it make things better for me now? Right? Because like some of those things, yeah, they exist, but they're not coming to my parents' doorstep in northern Michigan anytime soon. Right? So the things that I think are important for me is, like, what are the things that I don't want to spend my time doing? Well, it doesn't matter if I'm fixing a tractor, repairing a highly technical piece of machinery in a robotics line, or fixing an application on my computer. I don't want to pore over pages of technical documentation to find an answer. I want to be able to have that system read the documentation in a half a second and tell me where I need to look.
Hey, Patrick, thank you very much, man. I'll be in touch real soon. I really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. It's Thursday. That means In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar on the Earl Ingram Show.